fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penny, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. We were just talking about malls and how kind of horrible and awful they are off air. But
I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of some weird, like, Logan's Run kind of situation. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go in and I'm never going to come out because I'm over 30 and somehow,
you'll just be sucked in.
Yeah, burnt up somehow.
Sucked into Farmers and, like, trapped there forever.
Oh, my God, I might come out, like, wearing something from there.
Hey, nothing wrong with Farmers.
I'm just kidding.
We've also got Hannah Dangerous Goods, a.k.a. Dangerous Goods. Hannah Davis Gray. I always do that. Hannah Davis Gray, a.k.a. Dangerous Goods. Jewellery in the studio. Kia ora, Hannah. How are you?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm Penny. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. It's nice to have you up here this morning. So what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about Dangerous Goods.
Fantastic.
So maybe, Hannah, we can start off with you telling the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got into being a jewellery designer.
Sure. I am 23. And I'm based in Auckland and have always been based in Auckland. I studied at Elam straight out of high school. And while I was there, I started making a little bit of jewellery and got into casting. And since then, it's just sort of been a natural progression into, I guess, making more wearable jewellery pieces. Mostly self-taught, but with a lot of helpful advice from various people at Elam and outside, and YouTube.
Good old YouTube.
Lovely YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah. So what sort of thing kind of inspires you?
I don't know if I have, I guess, like a sort of set style or something that I am inspired by, but I'm definitely interested in kind of the weird state of jewellery that it's kind of been an anthropological constant. So it's been around forever, and like very early pre-human communities were making jewellery. But now it's become something that seems so, I guess, extra or excessive. And so I'm interested in kind of creating with that sort of jewellery as a constant or a necessity or some kind of practical thing in mind. So creating jewellery that's like made to be worn for a very long time and doesn't necessarily subscribe to like what's on trend or fast fashion collection based production, but is something that's handmade and well made and materials that will mean that it can be worn for a really, really long time.
Yeah. With the materials, you use recycled silver and lab-grown gems and things like that. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I find that quite fascinating.
Yeah, so that's the other thing that I really love about jewellery is that you can constantly reuse the materials that go into a lot of it. So sterling silver, because it's a metal, can constantly be melted down and recast into something new. And so I'm lucky that my casters uses recycled sterling silver stock when they're casting things. And then the lab-grown gems are super cool. They have the exact same chemical properties as the natural counterpart of the gemstone, but they start as a little seed taken from a natural gemstone, and then that's put into a pressure chamber, and it sort of mimics the pressure that gem would experience in the earth.
Oh, wow.
And produces like a column of whatever that gem is. And they have quite a great, like, vibrant colour to them because they're like perfect. They don't have any of the flaws that a natural gemstone has, which is kind of strange because there's character to a natural gemstone, but then the lab grown ones are actually like much kinder
and ethical. They don't have sort of weird histories of slavery or unsustainable consumption,
mining, land clearing, pollution,
all those things.
That's crazy. So you could actually like make a sapphire that's like 5 feet tall or something.
Yeah, probably.
That would probably be very cool.
Yeah.
Where do you get those from, Hannah? Where do you source your gems from?
Online, usually, from overseas. I've also been trying to work with a lot of secondhand gems lately, too, because they're already, I guess, processed and out there and have been used before, and so I guess they're the most sustainable or environmentally friendly. So I've been buying, like, secondhand jewellery off Trade Me. So that's where I get like any of my beads, pearls and stuff from old pearl necklaces and things like that, and just reuse those.
And you use hand casting as well. So can you tell us a little bit about that, like wax and things like that?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, most of my pieces start as a wax carving or sculpture that I mould and shape, and then they go through a casting, like a lost wax casting process, which is basically when they have like a fine plaster cast put around them, and then the wax is melted out and replaced by whichever metal, and so you get an identical replica of whatever it is you sculpted in the wax. And that allows you to create quite like organic textural pieces, because the casting process is so fine, it will pick up even a fingerprint or the tiniest little scratch.
It's amazing.
So is it a long process if you're making one piece?
Yeah, usually it would take me about 3 weeks to get a piece from start to finish, and that's just because the casting process happens over a week, and then I also work quite a lot, so not always in studio.
Yep.
Two hustles.
Yeah, it is quite a long process, but it...
It's worth it in the end. Yeah, you get these lovely individual beautiful pieces as well. I'm really interested in this idea of jewellery being something that is it, as you said, an anthropological constant. It's like been around since before, you know, civilization as we understand it today. But as you're saying, it's also this kind of like added extra. It doesn't necessarily have a functional purpose. It's got this kind of symbolic or memento sort of based thing as well. It's kind of an amazing thing about humans that we've always been fascinated by small, precious things,
shiny
as kind
things.
Of like shiny things,
yeah.
as like parts of stuff that matters to us as well. So it's really amazing to think about jewellery in that way too.
I always find it really fascinating when they find somebody and they can tell a lot about that person by the jewellery they wore. You know, it's very personal, isn't it? Like, you know, your style and everything, it really reflects, you know.
If people want to find your jewellery, Hannah, where can they pick it up? Are you stocked by any shops? Do you have your own website?
Yes. I'm currently in Auckland. I'm stocked at Wood S on Ponsonby Road. And I also have a small selection of things at the Wallace Gallery in Morrinsville.
So rock and roll.
Passing Morrinsville. I know. I'm like, maybe Jacinda will get one of my rings. But I have a website as well, which is www.dangerousgoodsjewellery.com, and then on Instagram. So most of the stuff I make is to order, so I try not to have like too much stuff just sitting around and out and about. So yeah, more than welcome
to
just DM me.
Slide into Dangerous Goods DMs. Thank you, Hannah, and thank you, Penny, for chatting to us this morning. Hannah Davis Gray, aka Dangerous Goods Jewellery, and Penny, who'll be back this afternoon as well.
I will indeed.
Playing tunes.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.